We have a community called Black at Inbound. It is a community that is specifically for Black professionals to get together and network, get access to resources that help with their professional development and overall just help them grow in their careers. And we want to make sure that like we are decreasing any of the gaps that are to get there. And the biggest one is like a social equity gap.
Welcome to Behind the Community Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Sims, and on every episode, I'm going to take you on a journey with me to uncover the truth of what goes on behind the community. I'll be speaking with industry leaders from all over the world to help you become the best community builder out there. Over the past decade, I've launched and scaled more than 40 different communities, from a 10-person book club to a million-person finance network. Now, our guest today is Shayna Summers. She is the Senior Manager of Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging Communities at HubSpot. Shayna launched HubSpot's first community for Black professionals, Black at Inbound. Previously, she was the head of community at Her App, where she launched the app's first community for LGBTQ+ folks, growing from 8 to 28 micro communities. On today's episode, we discussed her journey and achievements as a community professional, how she defines community, her learnings from being a co-host on Bad Queers podcast, and so much more. Let's dive in. Shayna, so welcome to Behind the Community podcast. I'm really excited for you to be here today. I just want to start off with the first question. What's your definition of community?
Yeah. First, thank you for having me. Very excited to chat about community today. And I think my main definition of community is just very simple. It's folks who are passionate about either a topic or a project or anything that interests them. And they're all just in the same room being able to talk about or listen to or learn about that topic or project or interest, basically bringing together values and having other people to share it with.
Love that. I think that's very straightforward and definitely aligning with the values. I think that's really, really important. Wonderful. And then I'd love to ask you, how did you actually find yourself in community? Where did you start your journey?
Yeah, it was, I think like most community managers, it was a stumbling of sorts that I ended up joining. I majored in music therapy. I thought I was going to be a music therapist for life. I did it for about 5 years. And when I was getting my master's in special education, I ended up volunteering for an app that was looking for ambassadors. And it was the app that I ended up working at full time. It was called Her. It's the LGBTQ+ dating app. And I was also using it to find friends and learn more about the LGBTQ+ community. I had come out recently before then, and it felt like a really great opportunity to get involved in the community. And I just kept saying yes to projects that they were asking for. So they were like, you know, can you help get events in the app? And I was like, sure, I'll reach out to people. Can you help talk about your experience living abroad and what the LGBTQ+ scene is like? And I was like, sure. I mean, I'm going to be out and about anyway. I might as well talk about it. And it just all continued into a full-time role that I took to be a content and community manager and helped build the first community for the Her app. And it was a lot of learning. It was a lot of trying to pick people's brains and doing a lot of reading. And this was before there was a lot of content for community leaders out there to understand strategies and engagement pieces and how to retain people and things like that. And so I was kind of working and stumbling and working and stumbling some more until something finally worked and got to be put together. And so I think with my background in music therapy and having the opportunity to work with a lot of folks with varying levels of abilities and just coming from all different places, that helped open my eyes and be able to kind of set that foundation with the work that I was doing in community. And I've continued with it since.
Wonderful. Do you think, your story coming out, do you think that really propelled you into community, or would you probably have found yourself in this industry regardless?
I honestly don't know. I tend to go and just like go with the flow with a lot of things, and I could have ended up anywhere, honestly. I don't think the path to community would have been straightforward or that I would have automatically made it there. I am a big connector, and you know, I love networking. I love meeting people. I love getting involved in different areas. So I could imagine myself getting involved in a bunch of other initiatives or opportunities as well. But this just happened to be happened to be the thing that caught my eye.
Cool. Yeah, I can see you wear a lot of different hats, as many community professionals do. So we'll get into that in a minute. But I'd love to hear more about your role at HubSpot.
Yeah, so my title is very long. I am the Senior Manager of Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging Communities, as well as our HubSpot user groups. So we have a community called Black at Inbound. It is a community that is specifically for Black professionals to get together and network, get access to resources that help with their professional development, and overall just help them grow in their careers. And we want to make sure that like we are decreasing any of the gaps that are to get there. And the biggest one is like a social equity gap. We need to know somebody to get into majority of these roles. And that is a huge barrier for Black professionals. So we want to break that down. And we have a very, very big focus on networking and access to people and resources because of that. And then our HubSpot user groups are for our super fans of HubSpot, folks who want to learn how to use the HubSpot products and get better at it, as well as find their community of folks who also love HubSpot as much as them. So we have a global community of that. We have over 100 HubSpot user groups around the world in over 13 different languages. And it's really awesome to see them be able to come and connect, not only over their love of HubSpot, but their interest in learning how to utilize the product better so that they can best use it for their customers.
Love that. What are the type of people, I guess, like how would you describe the super fans in your ambassador group?
Yeah, so it's kind of a range. So you have the folks who just got started with HubSpot, they're tinkering around, they're figuring it out, but they know that there's more that they can do and they're excited about what opportunities await, but they just haven't uncovered them yet. Mm-hmm. We have the folks who have been using HubSpot, but now are at the point where they want to expand their knowledge or learn how to use a different hub of the HubSpot product. And then we have the folks who are like right at or have made it to almost like our knowledge gurus, if I would say. They are the professionals. They know how to use HubSpot in and out, and they're usually the ones who folks go to. So there are thought leaders within the HubSpot ecosystem, and they're able to help people on an individual basis, which is the big thing, is that they can go and figure out different use cases really easily and help folks be able to best use it for their business, which best helps those folks use it for the customers and makes it a really seamless experience. So those are kind of the three tiers of our super fans.
Wow. And you said over 100 people in that community. How many people in your team?
So I have 4 people on my team. 2 of them work on HubSpot user groups and 2 work on Black at Inbound.
Perfect. And how about the team in general? We were just talking before, but I think it'd be great to go into a bit of detail about your wider team as well.
Yeah, so the community team, it's really awesome at HubSpot because they've taken a really clear and like wonderful stance. Like you see my sweatshirt, it says community-led growth. So I am on the community-led growth team at HubSpot, and I sit on the community team underneath that. So there's other pillars that sit underneath the community-led growth team, but ours, I sit under community directly. And so we have my team, which is our Hugs and Black at Inbound. And then we have our operations team, like our strategy and operations team. Mm-hmm. And they're amazing. Then we have our advocacy team that does like our customer storytelling. We have Hub Fans, which is like another clone of our superfan area, but our Hub Fans are more externally facing, where like our superfans that we have on Hugs are running groups and communities and things. And then we also have our overall community team that runs the HubSpot community. So if you go to community.hubspot.com, we have a whole team that helps to moderate and manage that space too.
Awesome. Yeah, very, very big team, as we were talking about. I think, yeah, I definitely don't know if there's many other companies in the world. You know, there's a very small amount of companies in the world that have a big team like that. So that's, I love that. And I think from like business to business, I think the way people define community in their business is quite different. I'd love to hear how HubSpot, or how you define community at HubSpot.
Yeah, I think the community for HubSpot is definitely the space for customers to come and grow better together. Mm. And in terms of whether that is, you know, their knowledge of HubSpot, whether it's to help grow their business and they're utilizing HubSpot resources to grow in that area, or just like as business leaders, we have so many marketers, we have so many salespeople, we have so many support people that all come to the space. And that's just tip of the iceberg for the type of folks that come into our communities and things to be able to learn together. But yeah, it's basically our overall community to help customers grow better.
Yeah, I think that's a very good definition. How would you recommend other professionals follow in your footsteps?
I think there's a lot of opportunities with community and folks who feel like they're people, even if it's, I think a lot of folks think that for community, you have to be this outgoing, bubbly, energetic person. And I know that's a lot of descriptors that people use for me, but it's not. Like, if you are able to work with people, if you're able to figure out how to create platforms that allow people to work with people, there's so many opportunities that you have. And I think the way that community was when I got started in it looks completely different now. So I can give the advice with a grain of salt to say like, it looks completely different than what we did. But now there's so many opportunities for folks to be able to come in and be community leaders and the resources that are available to them. So the first thing is just kind of like looking into the areas that you're interested in. Like, are you wanting to do operations? Are you wanting to focus more on the engagement side or building out strategy and things like that? Start to figure out what that looks like and then start to talk to other community leaders. I think the great part about us is that we are open to networking and we're open to talking to people and getting engaged with folks to let them know what we're doing, and then find the area that you are interested in working in. There's, you know, lots of tech communities, there's lots of professional communities, there's lots of interest-based communities, and figuring out which is a fit for you.
Perfect. Yeah, I definitely think talking to other community leaders in this industry is a great way to go. I know I get a lot of DMs every now and then, and it's nice to be able to share that wisdom. But yeah, I think that's a really good tip. And I'd love to kind of ask you more about the other projects you're working on. I know that you've started your own podcast. Are you able to share a bit more around the story behind the podcast and what your goal is there?
Yeah, so I have a podcast called Bad Queers. It basically talks about breaking stereotypes in the LGBTQ plus community. We started the podcast, me and my co-host, Chris. We started the podcast when we both worked at the Her app. And it was kind of one of those situations where I really wanted this to happen. It was when podcasts started to become popular. And as a dating app, I was like, there are so many stories that we should be talking about. And we were getting stories from couples who met from all over the world. And there were other dating apps who were starting to do podcasts as well that were sharing, you know, dating nightmare stories and things like that. And I was like, I think we have a completely different lens that we can lean into, especially because the dating app I work for focused on women, trans, and non-binary folks specifically. And those aren't stories that you get to highlight very often, but also stories from the LGBTQ plus community aren't highlighted a lot unless it's in a negative sense, or like today's news is running is just, you know, in terms to attack and eradicate the community. And so I wanted to create a space where we were educating, but also amplifying the stories that we had. And so I pushed a lot to try and convince our CEO to run with it. And I just basically kind of told my co-host, I was like, so you're going to do this podcast with me and here's what's going to happen. And did a lot to pitch to both of them the ideas that I had, and finally it ended up working. We now run the podcast independently, which is really awesome. It was great to have the support from her to go and move and do the work ourselves. And it's fun to be able to do the podcast. We have multiple different segments. We've had a lot of different guests. We've been doing the podcast. It'll be 3 years in April. So really excited for all that is to come with it.
Wow. 3 years. That's a long time already.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you've had how many guests have you had so far?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I know we've had over 20 or 30. I think that sounds right. Yeah. Because we don't have them every episode, but we get them every once in a while. We've had awesome folks like Lena Waithe, and we've had like Bob the Drag Queen on, you know, like just we've been able to like luck out with all the different range of people that we've been able to have on the show and who are open to giving their time to the podcast as well.
Love that. And how was it received? Like how has the podcast, you know, performed over the years? Are you really proud of it?
Yeah, 100% proud of it. I'm really happy with it. And we, again, skirting the surface of what I believe we can do with the podcast and the opportunities that we have growing, we've built so many new connections.
Yeah.
We had multiple guests that we had on when I moved to Chicago. A lot of them were Chicago based and now they're good friends. And we get to support their endeavors and be able to go to their events and things, which is really cool to be able to connect in that way and build community in that way. And, you know, we're just starting to do bigger planning. Some of the groundwork hasn't even gotten started, which is even more exciting, but the podcast has consistently grown. We started off with actually a really solid audience. And I think that was really a testament to being able to have a topic that was really interesting and a community that we had already built before then, and to be able to grow and expand in that way. And it's been awesome to just like engage with folks in new areas and, you know, new social media platforms come out. You can spread the word in different ways and to see how people have felt seen from our podcast. A lot of the feedback that we get is like, y'all just sound like our queer best friends in your ear. And I'm like, that's the best compliment I could ever receive. Cause that's what it feels like when Chris and I are talking. So it's been really great to see the growth, but to have that response from folks who we listen to and folks that like we now have never met in person, but we know them when they message us or we've had conversations with them in the DMs and things like that. Like, we're not unreachable by any means at all as well. So it's really great to have that community that recognizes you for all of your intersectional identities and appreciates it.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds really personal. It sounds really, you know, friendly and welcoming. And you've just got this relationship with your audience that feels more like a family. you're sharing stories with your friends and your family. And what, I mean, these days, any dating story, I'm just like, I'm very glad I'm not single anymore. But I'm sure you have some interesting stories. I mean, anything you want to share? Any highlights from the podcast?
Oh gosh, stories all the time. And it's really funny when my friends text me to see like the things that they find hilarious or find interesting. Or, you know, we have a piece of the podcast where we give advice. It's called the Am I a Bad Queer segment. And they basically write in and ask us advice. And we both look at each other like, we are not qualified. We are just, you know, your friends that you would call if you were like, hey, I'm thinking about making this poor decision, or I'm in this situation, or I genuinely have this question that I don't know the answer to. And our friends, it's like our friends who are writing in is what it feels like. And so it's really funny to see the range, because sometimes folks write in and we're just like, what? You're doing what? With whom? And you haven't gotten caught yet? Like, what do you, ooh, what do you mean? Easy. And we call them out and we read them to filth and all of that when we're doing the podcast. But then there are some really great, genuine questions around coming out or proposals or, you know, dealing with family dynamics and the fact that like families don't accept any part of our identities and or the people that we love and things like that. So we have a lot of stories there. Each of our guests, each time they come on and for every one of our episodes, we share bad queer opinions. And so we call them like unpopular opinions, but it's actually probably an opinion that most of the community has and nobody really says them out loud. Like, we've said things like, you know, we think that as creative of a community as we are for the LGBTQ plus community, we're like, the rainbow flag was the only thing we could come up with. That was the most creative option that we could come up with. When with all of this talent that is pouring here, we could have come up with something better. We could have chosen better colors and things, all the way down to talking about like stereotypes from different identities and things like that. And so it's really fun to see and hear those stories as well. I think one of our most recent podcast episode we had with Rashid Newsom, and he is the author of My Government Means to Kill Me. And he also writes on shows like Bel Air and The Shy and lots of other different shows as well. And he's incredible. And that was just like by chance meeting, and to hear his coming out story, as well as the way that he tries to like break gender binaries. Like, you can look at him and he looks like a stereotypical man and goes out. And like, when he does his talks, he's out in skirts and things like that to like kind of break what you thought like gender should look like. And one of his bad queer opinions is one of the best ones, where he says like, most likely we're not our ancestors' wildest dreams as like Black queer folks. And we were like, that's a real conversation. And it opened up a lot of discussions for folks to say like, but most likely you do have ancestors that were queer. And we were like, probably. And on the flip side, it's also deeply run, especially for Black families, that it's just like, nope, we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to discuss it. We're not going to acknowledge it by any means. And there are probably a lot of our ancestors that are looking down on us like, how dare you? And that's a conversation that people need to have. And so sometimes being able to just like give that permission. But the nice thing that I like about our podcast is that like we leave it open and be like, most likely you're going to be offended. Most likely you're going to disagree. And we make that known, but it also leads to conversation. And I think we, in the world of cancel culture, I think this is a great space to actually be able to say like, hey, you're probably not going to agree with this, but this is a space for conversation, not for attacking. And you can 100% disagree with that, but we're also going to probably stand 10 toes down on like our opinions and things like that, because it's true. People have these thoughts and we want to talk about them. So those are just some of the moments that we've had on the podcast that like stick out to me.
Wow. I mean, it definitely seems like your podcast is this space that is needed. You know, there needs to be these conversations. And I really like the fact that you're getting people to send in questions. I think that's a really nice way of making a podcast more community focused. Are you doing anything else that helps the podcast be more, I guess, community driven?
Yeah, we're really engaged at the moment just on social media. So anytime folks message us or we have conversations through our posts and things like that, we are in the process of looking into different spaces that we want to be. Like, do we want to be on an actual community platform? Do we want to do something through Patreon? Things like that. So we are kind of looking at our options right now, which is really exciting.
That's amazing. I think we're kind of getting to the end of our podcast, but I'd love to know if there's any kind of practical tips you'd like to share, either for people wanting to start a podcast or kind of move into community management.
Yeah, I think for starting a podcast, and you'll hear this from everyone, I don't think anything that I'm going to say is groundbreaking or new, but you know, figure out your why, figure out your topic. The more niche, the better. I think a lot of people, I think that's the same for community as well. Like the more niche, the better. And then figure out your schedule. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, once a month or once a week that you're doing your podcast, just have something that is incredibly consistent and know when to stop talking. I know that podcasts are all about talking and how we go out and discuss, but just know when to stop, because at some point it becomes a ramble and that's when people tune out. So those would be the top things I would give for podcasting. But also just start doing it. It needs to happen. If you don't start, then it's just going to be this idea that sticks around in your head forever and you're going to wonder what if. So just get started and then figure out the rest as you go. And for community management, again, you know, network, learn about the different roles that are out there and available, join communities, like put yourself in the spaces that you want to be in and see how those communities work and see if that's something that you're interested in.
Love that. And then, so we're at the end of the podcast, but I'd love to know if there's anything next for you and what are you working on currently and what are we going to see?
Yeah, I think the biggest things are for HubSpot, growing our HubSpot user groups. Those are open to everyone. So if you use HubSpot and you're interested in learning more about the products, check out events.hubspot.com and join the communities there. Same with Black and Inbound. We host events just about every month and most of our events, our external events are open to everyone, but the community is specifically for Black professionals. So if you are a Black professional, come join the community. Otherwise, you can follow and keep up with what Black and Inbound is doing on LinkedIn. Just look up the Black and Inbound community or go to HubSpot.com/Black and Inbound. And you can get a part of our events. We talk about a range of topics that are helpful for anyone and everyone. So if you would like to join any of those, that would be great. We will be in person at our Inbound conference that HubSpot hosts in September. So you can always come and check us out in person. And then for Bad Queers, we are growing and doing new things every day. We'll be announcing new stuff coming up about swag and, you know, community things and all of that. But there's a lot of new things that are coming and we're very excited about that. But you can follow us anywhere and everywhere at Bad Queers Pod on social media. And you can listen to us at Bad Queers Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Love that. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today, Shayna, and good luck with the future of your podcast and the future of HubSpot. I think you're doing amazing things and I hopefully get to speak to you soon. Hopefully we can have you back again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming with me behind the community. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. I'd also love to hear from you on LinkedIn. You can search Michelle Sims to find me. I'll see you on the next episode.